The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Daf Yud Zayin. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Abraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'fuat Shelemad David Ben Adel and Yosef Chaim Ben Adel. Enna Refana Dahem, Enna Refana Dahem, Enna Refana Dahem. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Zayin Amud Lishon on the second line of the Gemara. Comes the Gemara and goes back now to a subject that we discussed on yesterday's daf, the Lishkat HaTelaim. That is the chamber where they used to keep the Telaim, the sheep that were prepared for the Korban Ola. Now what does it mean they were storing them there? They would make sure that they did not have blemishes, because obviously you cannot have an animal that has a blemish on the Mizbeah. So they had at least six animals at all times in the Shkat HaTelaim, preparing them for the Mizbeah. So now the Gemara says, Rav Ada Bered Rav Yitzchak Amar, Hai Lishka, this chamber, Lishkat HaTelaim, Aksuyem Maksiya. It was actually stretched out. Aksuyem Maksiya was stretched out, we'll say. V'da'atem misafon mitchazya lebedarom. A person coming from the north, it looked as if it was in the south. U'da'atem midarom, and someone coming from the south, mitchazya lebesafon, looked like it was in the north. Meaning what he's saying is, the Shkat HaTelaim was not actually in the corner. It was a little drawn from the corner. And therefore, depending where you came from, it looked as if it was in the opposite corner, as it was leaning towards the opposite corner. Do you want to see a picture of that? We have it over here in 41. You see, instead of placing it in the southwest, the Shkat HaTelaim, or putting it in the corner of the northwest, we're not putting it in the corner. We're saying it was off the corner, drawn off a little. And the Gemara is trying to say that depending where you came from, I mean, if a person was walking from the north side, it would look like the Shkat HaTelaim was more towards the south. And if you were walking from the south side, it looked like the Shkat HaTelaim was more towards the north. So therefore, when it says Aksuyeh, meaning it was Nimshach, it was pulled off the corner, and it was deceiving. Depending on which direction you were walking, it looked like it was in the opposite place. Let's read Rashi for that. Rabada bar Yitzhak Amar, Hailishkat HaTelaim, Aksuyeh Maksiyah, Bishteh HaMkutzaot. Right? It was pulled off both corners. Nir'it She'arukai. It looked long. Ve'omedet B'ma'arav. It was on the western side. And it was drawn towards the north and the south. Ad karov le miksaot shemikan umikan, to both corners. Udatem misafon mitchazyale. A person coming from the north, it would seem to shemeshuchal lesad darom yoter, that it was more towards the south. Udatem midarom, and a guy coming from the south mitchazyale meshuchal lesad safon. That's the Gemara. So comes the, so that's a new place where they're putting the Shkat HaTelaim. Till now we always thought it was exactly in the corner. I tell you, no, it was somewhere off the corner, and it was a little deceiving depending where you're coming from. You didn't know exactly which side it was closer to. So based on this understanding, there's no stira between the two Mishnayot. Which means we have one Mishnah that said it was in the north, it was in the northwest. And one Mishnah says it was in the southwest. Now what the Gemara is really saying, it depending on where you were coming from.
Right.
If you were coming from the south, it looked like it was in the northwest. If you're coming from the north, it looked like it was in the southwest. Because since it really wasn't at the exact corner, we can explain the two Mishnah that they're not arguing on each other. So that's really another answer. Right, you have a picture in the article? That's nice?
It looks good.
Okay, I'd like to see that.
Very long.
Which one is that?
Diagram B.
17A1.
Very good. Diagram B. You see the Shkata Tila'im is on the east western side and it is a little elongated, right? Off the corner. So therefore it can look like, right, coming from the south looks like it's more north, coming north looks like it's in the south. Very nice. Good picture. So the Gemara says, "Umistabra dimim arabit dirumi tavai." It makes sense to say that the Lishkat Beta Tila'im was closer to the southwest. Which means even though we said that it's somewhere in between, however, it's logical to say that it was really in the southwest. And even the opinion that put the Lishkat HaTila'im towards the north, that was only because when coming from the south, it's viewed that it's closer to the north. But really, according to everybody, it was actually closer to the south. How? Mimai. From the fact that the Gemara asks a stira from where the lechem apanim lishka was. What is the stira? So Rashi tells us that at this point we're assuming that in Masechet Midot it's clear that we were going in a counterclockwise position. Because in Masechet Midot. No, in the Masechet Midot. Oh, I'm sorry, Masechet Midot is clockwise, correct. Because it clearly tells us in Masechet Midot where the directions of each of the Leshakot were. Now, in Masechet Midot, it clearly puts the Lechem HaPanim in the southeast. Southeastern corner, it's Beferush. Now, when it comes to Masechet Tamid, we assumed that it was also going in a similar clockwise fashion. And therefore, it's going to put the Lechem HaPanim in a different spot. How? Rashi. Right, we thought you're going towards the right. Okay? Now, Mitzafon, the Ma'arav, Ma'arav, the Darom, the Darom, the Mizrach. Lishkat HaTila'im, that's the first one that it lists. Bisfonit Ma'arabit. Right? So you start northwest. The second one would be in the southwest. Next one would be southeast. So it's going to put it in the northeast, which is exactly the opposite where it said in Masechet Midot. So comes the Gemara and answers, Amar Rav Huna bered Rav Yehoshua, Mor ka'ashiv derech yamin, Mor ka'ashiv derech semol. There's no contradiction. It's all depending on which direction you're going in. Which is Masechet Midot, we're going derech yamin. Derech yamin, which means counterclockwise, like we learned. And therefore, Lishkat HaPanim, Lechem HaPanim is definitely in the southeast. And in Masechet Tamid, we're going derech semol. Meaning we're going clockwise. And therefore, if you go clockwise, the fourth Lishka that was listed over there in Masechet Tamid was the Lishkat Lechem HaPanim. Meaning you're starting from the southwest.
It said northwest there. It said straight out that it's in the northwest.
No, in Masechet Tamid, it said southwest. We had a machloket on Lishkat Tila'im between Masechet Tamid and Masechet Midot. Right. So Masechet Midot put it in the southeast. That was the stira between Masechet Midot and Tamid. So again, since the Lishkat HaTila'im, the Gemara wants to prove was closer to the south, so you started from the southwest. So therefore, starting from the southwest, you start Lishkat HaTila'im, and then you go in a clockwise fashion, your fourth Lishkat is going to be Lishkat Lechem HaPanim, which is going to take you to the southeast, which is exactly in Masechet Midot. So the Gemara says, "Iyamar b'shtamat." You're going to say, "B'magaribid dirumit avai." That really was closer to the magaribid dirumit to the southwest. Hayru mitemeret zechamapanim alachamapanim. That's how you answer the stira from the zechamapanim. Ela iyamad sefurim magaribid. But if you say that it was actually closer to the northwest side, you're going to start from there, so everything moves up a spot. Have I sof sof my tirutza the lechem panim? How did you answer the lechem panim? Because according to that, the lechem panim is going to be in the southwest, and therefore you don't have a tirutz. You must say that everybody holds that the lishkat telaim was closer to the south. West, and therefore you started from there, and in Masechet Tamid you went in a clockwise fashion, starting from the Lishkat Telaim, which they calculated in the southwest, and you went down to put Lechem Panim in the southeast. Comes the Gemara and then says, proof positive. Ve'amar mor. Gemara has a question. We have a statement. Kol pinot shatapone lo yehe ela derech yamin lemizrach. Normally in the Beit HaMikdash, whenever you're traveling, you're always supposed to travel going right. So therefore, it makes sense to say that what? In Masechet Tamid, in Masechet Midot, you told me you're going right, which would be counterclockwise. But in Masechet Tamid, you tell me you went left. Right?
Yep.
How could you go left? I thought we have a cloud. The Beit HaMikdash, you always have to go right. That's a technical question. Which is that
you went clockwise. That's left.
Right.
Clockwise is right.
Which means in Masechet Midot, you went counterclockwise, which was right. Counterclockwise is right.
Right, because you're facing.
Again, counterclockwise, you're going right.
Right.
Okay, in Masechet Tamid, you're going clockwise, but it's left.
Yeah.
You're making left. In any event, to that, the Gemara answers, and we'll work it out now, but the Gemara answers to that, Hani mili ba'avodah. That's only talking about in service. Meaning when you're doing the avodah to Beit HaMikdash, when you walk into the mizbeah, you got to go to the right. Aval hacha, choshbina ba'almahu. Here, we're just calculating. It's nothing to do with the service of the Beit HaMikdash. They're giving you the configuration, so you can start going clockwise or counterclockwise. It doesn't matter. Shekohen gadol makriv chelik barosh, venotel chelik barosh. We learned in our Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol has rights to serve first. Meaning, if he decides that he wants to bring any korban in the Beit HaMikdash, even though there's designated kohanim that are on a schedule, who brings on what day, the Kohen Gadol can come in and say, I want to bring the korban. He has the first rights to bring any korban. Venotel chelik barosh. And also, when it comes to eating the pieces of meat, again, they were divvied up amongst the kohanim that served on any given day. Mm-hmm. The Kohen Gadol come along and say, I want to eat this meat of this korban. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, Kesad makrif chelek barosh. Give us a scenario. How does the Kohen have rights to serve first? Omer, he could say, Ola zu ani makrib. This korban ola, I'm bringing it. Min hazu, this meal offering, ani makrif. Kesad notel chelek barosh. Give us a case where he gets rights to the first eating of the meat of the korban. Omer, Hatat zu ani ochel. Hashem zeh ani ochel. Venotel, here's the chidush. Venotel hala mishte halot. On Shavuot they brought two loaves called lechem, shte lechem. Now, the Kohen Gadol has a right to take half of it. He could come along and say, I want one of those loaves. Arba o hamesh memaase lechem apanim. And when it comes to the 12 loaves of lechem apanim, he could either take 4 or 5. The Gemara will explain what does that depend on. That's the opinion of Tanakama. So again, the lechem of Shavuot, Shtei lechem, he gets 1, so he gets half. And when it comes to lechem apanim, he gets either 4 or 5.
Less than half.
Less than half. Well, we'll see if that's less than half or not. We'll see in a moment. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Le'olam hamesh. He said, when it comes to the lechem apanim, he always gets 5. Shine Emar, Vayeta le'aharon ulbanav. Who gets the lechem apanim? Aharon and his sons. Mechsa le'aharon u'mechsa le'banav. Half to Aharon and half to his sons. Now you're asking a question, when there was 12. So the Mefashim we're going to see now, we're going to explain, the Gemara will explain, that they only ate 10 out of the 12 loaves. So there's only 10 edible. So Rabbi says, Aharon u'banav. Aaron's equal to his sons. His sons get 5, Aaron gets 5. So therefore Rabbi's arguing with Tanakama. Tanakama said, no, sometimes he gets 4, sometimes he gets 5. Rabbi says, no, he always gets 5. So that's the machlokes between Tanakama and Rabbi. Comes the Gemara, look at Rashi, Mehsa le'aharon, Vafapi she'en shneim asar, yesh ben shte halot she'en mitchalekot. Right, there's 2 that were not eaten, so you're only really dividing 10. So comes the Gemara and says, Ha gufa kasha, we have a contradiction in the Braita. Why? Amar, you told me in the beginning of the Braita, notel hala achat m'shte halot, that he gets on Shavuot half of the 2 halot. Who's that going like? Mani, Rabihi. The Amar, Palga Shakil. Which means, isn't Rabbi's opinion that you give the Kohen half? Just like by Lechem HaPanim, you give him 5? Mm-hmm. So too by the Shteh Lechem, you give him 1. So the first opinion that says by the Shteh Lechem, he gets 1, that must be going like Rabbi. Ema Mitziata, but the middle opinion of this Braita is going like what? Arba or Chamesh. B'maaseh Lechem HaPanim. Atan L'Rabbanan. That must be going like the opinion of the rabbis. The Amar, Lo Shakil Palga. Right, that they say he doesn't necessarily get half, because from the fact that they say that sometimes he gets 4, that means he doesn't get half. That means that's going like Rabbanan. Then the third opinion of the Braita, Rabbi Omer le'olam hamesh. So it comes out that what the end of the Braita says that he always gets 5. So the Braita is very strange. Why? Resha v'sefa Rabbi u'misi'ata Rabbanan, which is the first opinion is Rabbi, the second opinion is Rabbanan, and the third opinion is Rabbi. In one Braita, you don't usually have such a style where you're starting with one opinion, you go to another opinion, and then you go back to the original opinion. Let's review why that's so. The first opinion said half. When it comes to the Shteh Lechem on Shavuot, half to give him 1 loaf. Oh, 1 loaf. Who's the half opinion? Rabbi. Good. Second statement in the Braita. When it comes to Lechem HaPanim, 4 or 5. Oh, 4? That's not half. Right. Oh, that must be going like Rabbanan. For some reason, I go with half. Then it says at the end, Rabbi says when it comes to Lechem HaPanim, 5. That's the half opinion. So you have Rabbi, Rabbanan, Rabbi. Gemara says, you don't get
everybody.
No, but it doesn't go. So that's the Gemara's going to answer. The Gemara says, Abba Rabbiye. Abaye says, Resha u'metzi'ata Rabbanan. The first 2 cases are really Rabbanan. What do you mean? Why then do you give him half of the Shteh Lechem HaShavuot? So the Gemara says, course, why is it different? Umodu Rabbanan befrusa telav orach ar'a lemedbe l'Kohen Gadol. Because it's not respectful to cut a loaf and give it to the Kohen Gadol. There's only 2 loaves. So what are you going to tell me? You give him less than half? You gotta give him less than half, that means you gotta cut the loaf. Not derecher, it's to give the Kohen less than half. So therefore, according to this opinion of Abaye, the Resha is Rabbanan, the middle is Rabbanan, and the Sefa is Rabbi. Okay, it's a normal Braita, which is Machloket, Rabbi and Rabbanan. Look at Rashi. Resha u'mitziata Rabbanan, last Rashi on the daf. The Amri, lo shakil palga, ela batzir mipalga. Right, the rabbis hold really you give the Kohen less than half. Udekashalach hala d'shtei lechem d'shakil la kula. Oh, what do you mean? But you're giving him the whole loaf, which is half of the shtei lechem. Modu rabbanan de lav ora haral mifrese v'lemeta perusa l'kohen gadol. It's not the derech eretz to cut off the loaf to give it to the Kohen Gadol. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.